Good morning, beautiful people, and welcome to the Highly Melanated Podcast Show. I am your host, Natasha Monique, and thank you guys for tuning in. Happy Wednesday. I had to think about what day it was because I had to take Monday off. I needed a personal mommy do. I need to spend time with my son day. So my days are kind of like thrown off. But anyway, happy Wednesday, guys. The week is almost over. So anyway, as you guys know, I wrapped up my season of the Highly Melanated Podcast Show a few weeks ago. But there was just, first of all, as a mother and just as a person, I'm always talking to myself and I'm always in my head. So there's some things that if I keep talking about, I'll say to myself, you got to talk about it. You know, and then once I figure out that it is something I need to talk about, then it's like, okay, so do I blog about it? Do I vlog about it? Do I podcast about it? I feel like you got to strategically place things, you know, for your listeners to really understand, if that makes any sense to you guys. Like, I know sometimes when I blog, I know that I need people to read those words and interpret it how they want to. Then when I am vlogging, sometimes it's like I need my listeners to see my face. You know, it's kind of like when I go to therapy, there's sometimes that me and her do our face to face, but then there's times that for some reason we had to cancel and I could talk to her over the phone, and that works for me. And then there's podcasting, which I love. And so I'm like, there's certain conversations that I like to have because I want people while they're driving or whatever it is that they're doing. I probably shouldn't have led with driving. No, it's okay. It's okay. Cause I ain't gonna say nothing crazy, but you know, while you're driving, you know, you're cleaning up, whatever the case may be. I want you to be like, bitch, yes, yes. In other words, my goal is always, to just get you guys to just feel where I'm coming from. And I try to use all of the platforms that I've created for myself to do so. So one of the things that definitely has been on my mind a lot lately is stereotypes that are and labels that are placed on African Americans, especially more specifically African American women. And there's this whole thing about perception versus reality. I remember back in fall 2007, I was pledging, and I remember having a conversation with an alumni, and she said to me, she said, let me give you guys the backstory first before I even tell you what she said to me. So for me, growing up in the projects and having, well, if you guys follow me, you know how it is. Growing up in the projects and being bused to school with white children, because I went to a gifted and talented school, so I was bused to school with predominantly white children, but I came home to the projects with black kids that looked like me. So sometimes it was confusing because, you know, you adapt to your environment. So when I was in school, you know, I am acting like the people that I'm around. Now, when I come home, sometimes I didn't fit in with the people that look like me at home because they like, first of all, why are you so cheery? You know, why are you so happy? And then there were some times where I probably was being a bitch because that's what I was around. So, you know, you'll be confused. Like, I feel like I was raised like a biracial kid, even though I am, well, I mean, technically, if you ever see my complexion, you know, historically speaking, but, you know, my mother and father is black. Now, my dad's dad is like, he was really dark, not really dark, but he was brown skin. And then my mom's dad was very light with really good hair. And I want to lean more towards, because both sides, we're white, but I'm getting off topic. Anyway, so being just confused and being bused to school with kids that didn't look like me, but then coming home to kids that looked like me, it was really confusing. I was always teased. I was called white. And, you know, you carry that stuff with you. But at the same time, you're still conflicted because now you're trying to fit in with your cousins, you know, who didn't go to that school and who live in that neighborhood. You know, you're so conflicted. So fast forward. Sorry, I was all over the place. Then I get to college and now I'm pledging. And so it was this perception that I was a bitch, that I was mean, that I was ghetto. And without going into detail, out of just respect for the culture of it, I will say this. I was having an identity crisis and did not know it. And so an alumni pulled me to the side and said to me, if you hadn't shared your life story with me, I would have not known that, you know, you had been through all of that. You know, she said, you walk around here with a nasty attitude and you're so angry at the world. And she gave me a mirror. She gave me a mirror. She said, I want you to walk around with this mirror. And every time you feel that you're going to be ugly, look at yourself in that mirror. Now, mind you, for anybody that has pledged, you know, you're not popping. You're not popping. Because the way I pledged, I was looking crazy. I was looking crazy. And back then, I was perming my hair. I had thick hair. I had a doobie in like weeks. And back then, I was the doobie queen. This hair was laid down. Okay. No, I was looking crazy. My eyebrows was looking like I was in fucking fifth grade all over again. I was looking crazy. So can you imagine every time I felt ugly, I had to look in the mirror and see that? And I wasn't even, and no, I'm lying. Because when you pledge, it do something to you mentally. It breaks you down. But it's needed. It's needed. When done correctly, it's needed. It's needed. Sometimes because we got to be humble. And she humbled me when she said that to me. And she left me with this when she gave me that mirror. She said, perception is reality. And I never forgot that. I carried that with me. I was 21 years old when I pledged. I'm 33 years old. And it's been damn near, around this time, back in 2007 that I pledged. But I never forgot that she said that to me. And I carry that with me. And the more and more I am trotting through life and becoming a mom and just understanding what it is to be a Black woman, I really understand perception is reality. But then I started to say, wait, but is it perception versus reality? Because there's so many labels that are placed on us as Black people just before some people even interact with us. They already coming to us just strapped differently, if that makes sense. From experience, you know, we just always approached differently. It's like some people feel like they gotta approach us aggressively. That's really on the. My uncle always told me, state facts, always state facts, state facts, state facts. So I try not to speak on stuff that I have, like, you know, that I don't have enough proof or evidence to say that, you know, from experience is what it is. But from experience, from my 33 years of being a Black woman, this is how I was treated. This whole perception that I'm going to be an angry Black woman, so you have to respond to me that way. And you know also how I know that? Because I do it to other Black women. I do it to them. So, again, experience. And one of the most frustrating, things in the world is feeling like you don't know who to be. Because there's these stereotypes that, you know, you're this, 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 and this, and this. And I'll give you an example. When I was pregnant with Bakari, I made sure that Ayub was at every fucking doctor's appointment. Every single one of them. Not just because you should be here as dad. It was because I don't want no fucking body sitting in this office thinking that I'm a single Black mother. And maybe because subconsciously, I know what I can't even imagine what my mom had to endure. Because my dad ain't shit, y'all. So I can't even imagine what my mother had to endure. Or so many other mothers who had to sit in waiting rooms by themselves. And I never wanted to feel like that. I never wanted to look like that. So I made it my business. You got to be at every fucking appointment. It probably was one appointment that he wasn't at. One. And you go to a lot of doctor's appointments. Maybe two. Especially because towards the end, I had to go a lot. And sometimes I would say to him, it's okay. It might have been more than two. That's not the point. I'm getting off topic. But the point was, I did not want nobody thinking that I was the stereotypical single Black mother. Never mind, nobody probably in that waiting room was worried about my raggedy ass. Wasn't thinking that at all, but these labels that we carry that shit like a fucking cape with us. We do. Or as the great Miss, the goddess Erykah Badu would say, bag lady, we carry this shit with us. We do. Because it's these perceptions and these labels that are put on us. So further that point, secondly, driving to work, I was listening to The Breakfast Club, who I love them, by the way. Oh, man, they're such an inspiration. They're one of the reasons why, along with Miss Angie Martinez, as to why I want to get into getting really serious about this podcasting thing. But anyway, so I listened to The Breakfast Club, and so it was Ask Yee, and a female called in, and she was saying that she was having issues with her baby daddy. He didn't want to be a part of the kid's life. And he was saying the baby wasn't his. And she was like, you know, I don't want to take him to court. I just want him to acknowledge that it's his kid. So Angela, her advice to her was that you're going to have to take him. You know, you're going to have to take him. And, you know, because she asked her, I'm sorry, I'm going back. She was like, you know, did you guys do a paternity test? She's like, no. So she said to her, well, you're going to have to take him to court. You're going to have to do a paternity test. And obviously, if it's his, you know, he's going to have to pay child support. She said, I did not want to do that because I didn't want to look like the typical black baby mama. And I felt it like I banged the steering wheel like, because I under-fucking-stood. I understood her dilemma. Now, was it his baby or not? I don't know. But I understood her dilemma. I understood that right there. I didn't need to dissect anything else. I wasn't thinking like, what if that bitch? No, I wasn't even thinking of dissecting any of that. But that right there, what she said. That right there. I did not want to be labeled as the stereotypical black baby mama. And Charlamagne bust out laughing. I mean, they all did, but I just remember Charlamagne busting out laughing. But it was like I understood her. And I know all of them in that room understood what she was saying. It's this perception. And that within itself will give a motherfucking anxiety because you're trying to figure out where you... I don't want to be this person. I don't want to be labeled as this person. And even for some of us, we try so hard. We try so hard to go above and beyond to not be that person. For me, I can't tell you how conflicted it was to be bused to school with a whole bunch of kids that did not look like me, with teachers that did not look like me, and then to come home with people who did look like me. And some of them, now they were my friend, but then there were times where I did feel different from them. I was treated differently from them. I remember saying to my ex-boyfriend that I was like, I don't want to live in this place anymore. I don't belong here. And he looked me dead in my face. He said, bitch, you think you better than me? You think you better than people that live here? And I was so confused because I was like, I don't think that I'm better. I just want better. I just want better. I don't think I'm better than nobody. I just know that I don't want this. And it wasn't me trying to escape them. But in a way, it really was. It really was, because when you grow up in a cesspool full of shit, a cesspool full of broken people, that's what we are. A lot of us, we live in these communities where, you know, we just trying to make it. And it's just so much that keeps us there. But then you also got to find your way to pull up out of that. A lot of us, we're walking around here with mental illnesses. And how we deal with these mental illnesses is by, you know, doing drugs, by drinking. You know, some people smoke marijuana to take their minds off of it. But you put all of these people who went through so much, and you shake these motherfuckers up. Shake all of this trauma, this dysfunction. You shake these motherfuckers up. Boom. And let's drop them all into projects. That within itself, projects, project. And that wasn't even no black conspiracy theory, no. You put all of these broken people that we fucked up, that America shitted out, put all of them in this one spot, and let's see how they function. It's gonna fuck you up. It's gonna fuck you up. And I know that at 33, that's what that did to all of us. When you put us in these areas, these urban areas, on top of each other, I'm barely making it. So, their perception, the America's perception, are we animals, we're savages. But the reality is, we're just trying to figure out how to make it with the scraps that y'all motherfuckers gave us. To see so many black men in prison, in prison so they could fucking keep their families together. In prison. They going to prison because I'm trying to get a job, but I can't. So now I got to rob Peter to pay Paul so I can feed my mama and my siblings. Y'all fuck us up. Y'all fuck us up, America. And now live with each other. You take the black man out of the household. Now let me see y'all exist. They have tore us down and broken us so much. Now exist. But the reality is, just like the scraps y'all fucking gave us when we were slaves, we're making it work with the scraps that y'all giving us now. And getting smarter and smarter, because now you have your entrepreneurs. Black entrepreneurs, female black entrepreneurs, it's on the rise. It's on the rise. Keep trying to give us the scraps. Whenever I see some black shit on TV, some real black shit, and what I don't care whatever form you, even if you have to water it down, because there's some black shows that I see on certain networks, I'm like, okay, they had to, we got it, but you had to water that down. I get it, but I'll take it. I'll take looking on the TV and seeing people that look like me. When I tell y'all I fucks with Black-ish so heavily, what? The Carmichael Show, all of that, because we see that growing up. Some of the shit that I seen on them shows, I was like, wow, who knew? So keep thinking that we just gonna live off the scraps. It's all right. We making it work. It's like you never could keep your foot on our throat. You could do whatever you want. And I said this to my partner the other day. I said, all this crazy shit that's happened in the world. There's been so many mass shootings because of who our president is. But there's also so much content that I'm starting to see where this is this push of black consciousness. Like, nah, y'all ain't about to keep fucking doing us like this. Nah. Oh, we done did it for centuries, but we not gonna keep doing this. And I'm loving it. And I keep saying a black renaissance is coming. It's coming. Black people, it's coming. That's my two cents for today. I'll be back, y'all. I try to stay away. But I just feel like it's so much more I got to talk about on this podcast show. We got to use our platforms. We got to create these conversations. We got to have these conversations. Because when I leave this with y'all, I want you to go and talk about it. Elaborate even more on what I'm saying. Start pulling out even more shit. Like, she forgot to mention this. That's the goal, to strike a fucking conversation. Because for too long, a lot of us walked around here acting like this shit ain't real, this shit ain't our reality. And I see it every day when I see my brothers and sisters and how sick they are. And I don't even mean just physically. Mentally, how messed up so many of us are. So many of us are walking, talking children in adult bodies. Because we never grew up. I see it. I said to Ayub last night, because I'm learning to understand people and not judge, because that part of me going to school with white people did put me on a high horse. And I didn't realize it did. I really didn't. Because there were times where I wasn't being that way and I was treated like I was being that way, but I really wasn't. But then there were times that I was being that way and I couldn't understand why people was being mean to me. And it's like, 'cause bitch, you being the bitch. And so with that being said, now that I understand people more, I feel like, and this is what I said to you last night, I said, I feel like I could stand next to a person and just stand there next to them alone. I can feel their energy, their frequency. Like some people, I could stand next to them, especially a woman. I like to stand next to women a lot and talk to them. And just by conversation or before they open their mouth, I can tell what channel they on. I could tell if this woman may suffer from a form of anxiety. I can tell if a woman is having an identity crisis. You just learn that. You pick up on that stuff. And it sometimes it can be a gift and a curse. It can be. But what I learned to do is, if I'm around those women, I want to engage in a conversation. I want to talk to you. I want to know what's going on in your beautiful mind, sister. I want to talk to you. And there's some women, it'd be my own family members, that it makes it a little harder because they are my family members. So I got to take that part out and say, still see them as a black woman and understand, because you understand what they're going through. We just got to do the work, y'all. We just got to do the spiritual work. Do the spiritual work. Once you start doing the spiritual work, you'll start coming up out of a lot of stuff. Trust me. You really will. You really will. You start coming out of a lot of stuff. And not just religion, because that was another thing that held us down. A lot of black people. That's how you control black people, right? That was how we was being controlled. With religion. We're religion. And I never realized, why was I praying to white Jesus? I'm not even white. And Jesus wasn't. That's a topic for another day. But just so brainwashed with bullshit. That's why I love the Book of Eli. I used to watch that movie over and over and over and over and over. And I don't even knew why. Like, I knew why I liked it. But I really know why I like it now. It's all about control. It's all about being in power. America was built on that. Come on now. Y'all know that. But I seriously gotta wrap this up, y'all. Oh, man. Y'all be blessed. Love on one another. Do the work, y'all. Pick up a book. Learn your history. When you know who you are, you're not going to be confused. You'll be able to stand firmly. And that's one of the things I'm learning. I am learning who I am as a black woman, regardless how light I am. So fucking what? I'm still black. Because when I'm sitting in these meetings with these white people, you think they're trying to figure out what? No, I'm black. Y'all be blessed. And take care of yourselves. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Holly Melanated Podcast Show. I am your host, Natasha Monique. Peace.